This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 44, Directing Models in Photography and How to Get Them to Relax, for April 29, 2008. Hey there, fellow shutterbugs. How's it going? And welcome to the 44th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is April 29, 2008. Well, I'm on the trusty Zoom H4 portable recorder again, and just like last time, not having the best luck. I go outside to record, and it starts to rain and stuff, and it's just not comfortable for me. So I'm back in my car again recording on the portable recorder. Hopefully a third time will be the charm when I do this again next time. I'd like to just walk and talk. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but hasn't worked out so well. But summer's coming, weather's getting warmer, and I'm sure I'll have many more opportunities to record outside when the weather is nice and not raining. Well, today's show is going to be based on a comment by Bill, and Bill's comment references a podcast that we did maybe about 7, 8, or 9 months ago, podcast number 28, where we talked about directing models. And friend of mine, fellow photographer Dominic Fizzotto, gave some great tips on how to do that. And Bill totally appreciated those tips, but that podcast prompted a comment, and I thought this week's podcast would be based on that comment. So Bill's comment is this: I'd love to hear a podcast in a bit more detail about directing ordinary people in a portrait session. I tend to start out okay, but sometimes sort of choke, I guess, and then forget everything I know about taking photos, posing people, and walking while chewing gum. So this week's podcast is going to be an answer to that comment. But before we tackle this, and I don't think it'll take too long, I'd like to thank people for their comments on last show's podcast, number 43, where we talked about should we change the word photography because, you know, these days with Photoshop, photographs are really changing. You know, they're not the same as they used to be, or that's the argument I tried to put forth. And we got a few replies, very interesting. Three in particular from Andre, Joseph, and Michael. And Andre agreed with me. He just does really some basic, sharpening and contrast control in Photoshop. And he also has trouble with the word photograph these days, and you know, thinks that what we're doing with photographs with Photoshop is changing it so that we do indeed need to change the word. Whereas Joseph and Michael couldn't disagree with me more and basically, you know, put forth the argument that, again, you know, everything is manipulation, black and white is manipulation, it's all been manipulation since the very beginning. And I believe it was Michael pointed me to a good link on the history of photography where a professor was making this very argument, a photography professor, and I'm going to put links into the show notes again. So I just want to thank people for, you know, for their comments. Nobody has to agree with me. I don't agree with everyone either, you know. We're all photographers. We all have our own points of view, and sometimes the points of view are very subjective. Certain technical aspects of photography you're not going to be able to debate, you know. You take a wide-angle lens, and you're going to put it in front of somebody's face. That's going to distort someone, and you're not going to really be able to debate that it's not going to distort the shape of a face. You know, but that's something technical. What we're talking about here, what we were talking about rather, is, you know, it's very subjective, and we all have our own opinions, and I love it when people disagree with me. I put stuff out. I've been doing photography for a while, but I learn every single day, especially with digital photography. I'm learning all the time. There's so many new ways to do things. Knowledge is changing so quickly, and by no means do I have even close to a high percentage of the answers out there. I just put forth my opinion based on experience, and if people want to debate or challenge or tell me I'm full of it, I'm totally open to it, you know, and I love debates and I love learning. So please, if I ever say something that you don't agree with in any podcast, or you think you have another angle to, interject with or suggest, hey, that's what it's all about. Sharing and learning, sharing and learning. So thanks so much for the comments. As always, please send more. So now on to Bill's question, you know, about, you know, how to direct people, how to direct ordinary people better. And, he suggested, as I read in the question before, that he chokes and he forgets everything he knows. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard because, especially when you're starting out, there are all these technical considerations that don't come naturally. you know, the lighting doesn't come naturally for most people that are just starting out. And how to pose people doesn't come naturally for people just starting out. So how do you do it? I mean, you can go back to some of the tips we did in podcast 28, but a large part of it is going to be deciding what type of look your model has to begin with. Is your model heavy set? Does your model have scars, etc.? You know, what is the purpose of the photo shoot? These are key questions to ask yourself. You know, why are you taking the photo shoot? Is it for the model? Is it for yourself? Are you just practicing? And basically, you know, you want to try and maybe write down or think about the goal of the photo shoot. Because if you don't know where you're going in the photo shoot, there's, of course, you're going to be muddled. You kind of need to decide in advance, or especially for a newer photographer starting out, it's best to decide in advance where you want to go. Make yourself a game plan. You know, think about it. Prepare. Maybe make some diagrams, you know? Do you want to shoot them with window light? Do you want to shoot them with artificial light? Do you want to shoot them inside? Do you want to shoot them outside? Think about this before the model comes into your studio, whatever that is. The studio could be your living room. It could be something that you rented. It could be the back of a tree. Anything can be your studio. But think about it in advance, because that's going to make your life easy. Because then, you know, if the model comes and you don't have a plan, you're muddled. There again, you have the exposure to think about. You have the lighting to think about. You have distracting elements in the background to think about. There's a lot of crap to think about. And before you have a lot of experience, it's not going to come automatically. After you do more and more of it, you'll kind of figure out what poses work and what poses don't work, especially if you've been taking good notes, or especially if you're into paying attention. You know, you'll take, I was going to say a roll of film, oh my God. And these days people may indeed still shoot with film, but most people are shooting with digital cameras. So, you know, you load a card into the camera. You know, once the photo session is done, normally there's only a few shots that are really, really good anyway. And most pros will tell you the same thing. For every 100 shots they shoot, they might only be happy with 3 or 4. Sometimes the ratio is higher, sometimes lower, but, you know, really the majority of photos that you take, people aren't going to use. So the thing to do is to go over, you know, the past photo shoots that you've done or the current photo shoots that you've done and study the photos that work and why do they work. And what works and what doesn't work, I mean, a lot of that is based on, you know, rules of composition. A lot of it is based on just your own eye. You know, certain shots are just more pleasing. And even people that aren't into photography, looking at two photographs side by side can often tell you which one they prefer. And the shot that they prefer, more often than not, will tend to be the shot that a pro prefers as well, because people tend to know what quality is, even though they may not necessarily be tremendously involved in the discipline. Let's say they're total newbies, they'll still be able to pick out the better photo more often than not. That's been my experience anyway. I mean, if you give them a lousy photo, they may still like it, but if you put it side by side with a great photo, they'll be able to tell the difference. So really, go back and look at past shoots and think about why the shot worked. Did it work because the lighting was good? Did it work because it slimmed down the model if the model was heavy? Did it work because the model looked great? Why did it work? You know, think about that. You got to go back to past shoots and think about why the shots worked. And then you try and reproduce that pose or that lighting or whatever it was in that photo that was successful. You keep that in your arsenal for the next time, and that's how you become a better photographer. Another way is to study the faces of people. So you just look at someone and right away you may notice, are they bald? Do they have a huge nose? Is there a scar on their face? Do they have a double chin, a triple chin, a quadruple chin? If so, then maybe shooting them from underneath is not the best idea. Maybe shooting them from a higher angle to make their double or triple chins less apparent is the smarter thing to do. If they're bald like I am or follically challenged like I am, maybe you don't want to shoot them from a high angle. Maybe you want to shoot them more from a straight angle, especially if their baldness bothers them. You know, so again, you want to think about the face of the person beforehand. And then you want to take just a few quick looks, how it looks through the camera. Just take a couple of practice shots. Just have them look directly at the camera and take a few shots straight on. And then just move around a little bit for like 2 minutes before the shoot starts, and then just kind of look at it in your viewfinder and see what's working for you. You know, that can often help as well, because you'll get some instant feedback. You may look at someone and you're looking at them in 3D, but then when you click the shutter, it's registered in 2D on your card or on film. And with the luxury of digital cameras or digital SLRs, you can see the results right away in your viewfinder, so learn from them quickly. Now here's where it gets a bit tricky. You don't want to make the model feel uncomfortable. And the more you search for exposure settings and play with lighting and look like you don't know what you're doing, the more nervous and uncomfortable and the lack of rapport you're going to have with the model. So again, I would suggest, especially for beginners, you know, have a couple of lighting setups set up in your mind beforehand. Know what light you're going to use beforehand, you know, and be able to adjust it quickly so that you could just put your model in that light. And maybe outdoor light is just the easiest to start with, just because there's less to set up, and you could use a reflector as fill light, or a flash as fill light, or a reflective surface as fill light, and you know, that lighting part of it might be easier. But you want to also communicate with the model during the shoot. You want to talk to the model during the shoot. And it's difficult, I must admit. It is a difficult thing to do at the beginning, but you gotta do it. So again, research is great. You know, if the model is a friend or a neighbor, find out what interests them. You know, talk about the hockey game if they're hockey fans. Talk about basket weaving if they love to basket weave. Try and engage the model in something that they're interested in so that they relax. Because the expressions of a relaxed model are much better and far more interesting than the expressions of a tense model that, you know, may not be giving you what you need. You know, and again, you know, if the shoot is for you or the shoot is for them, it's two completely different things. But either way, you still want them to be relaxed. And it's been my experience that conversation helps people relax. Music in the background helps people relax. Even if you do a photo shoot outside, I've done this many times. I've brought a portable stereo with me and just had some relaxing music play as we shoot. If you're uncomfortable shooting in public, because sometimes people shoot in public places when it comes to weddings or just natural portraits or things like that, choose a private time. Do it earlier in the morning, you know, do it later afternoon, or scout for a location that's private if you don't like the attention you're going to get from, you know, people watching you. And when you shoot in public places, people often watch you. So, you know, bring music, that helps, and talk to the model. You got to keep talking, and you can't look like you don't know what the hell you're doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing, set your camera on automatic. Just keep talking to the model and shoot. And you know, as you do it, you'll get less and less nervous, and you'll become more and more efficient at getting, you know, a higher number of good shots or useful shots. So again, find out what interests them and just keep talking about it. Now, what you want to do during this conversation is you do want to do some posing. So if they're relaxed, you know, while you're talking about the Canadians game, if you could just say, oh, just lower your head a little bit if their chin is sticking out, or raise your eyes a little bit, or look directly into the camera, look to the right, look to the left, and then continue talking, you know. So give them some direction that looks good so that the framing in your camera is good. But keep the conversation going. You gotta learn how to walk and chew gum, unfortunately, and it only comes with practice. So keep walking and chewing gum, you know, keep directing the model, but keep conversing with the model as well. And you're likely to get better results. And you'll notice, and this happens quite often, is that the shots toward the end of the roll or the end of the card, or the later the shots are in the shoot, the better they are. Especially if you've relaxed your model somewhat. At the beginning, they may be tense, they don't like being photographed, especially if they have no experience being photographed. But toward the end, they'll tend to lighten up if you make the situation comfortable for them. And I think that'll pretty much do it for my tips on the topic. As always, if other people have other tips, I would love to hear them. Please just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com, or you could post your tip directly on the blog, photography.ca/blog. Just make your way to this podcast, number 44, and provide a tip on how you get ordinary people to relax and your tips on how to direct people if you have them. As always, the best way to get this podcast is by subscribing to it, and you can do so using iTunes or Google Reader or any other, you know, blog or podcatching software. That way, whenever we put it out, you get it automatically. And then, of course, we also have our forum on photography.ca. Just make your way to the forums and you can participate in any number of ongoing conversations about photographers that we like, or, you know, new things coming out in photography, or you can help critique photographs that people have put up. It's a fun community we got going and we're always trying to grow it, so everyone's invited. Please come on in and post. That's going to do it for me for today. Still working on that HDR podcast, High Dynamic Range, and hopefully that'll be released real soon as well. Until then, everyone, get outdoors, keep on shooting, take weird angles, get on your belly and shoot upwards, and as always, keep on shooting, everyone. Bye for now.